There are still some big-ticket races that have yet to be called this morning, including that for the second highest office in the state. Here to break those down for us is Jeremy Duda, longtime Arizona political reporter and editor of the Arizona Mirror. Jeremy, thanks for coming in. Good morning.
No, thanks for having me.
So let's talk first about Cinema McSally, which has now been declared. This was an incredibly tight race. It was one of the few, and not to credit every pollster in the state, but except for a few that were a little bit out on the fringes, always seemed to show between a point or two. Did you expect it to be this tight? And on top of that, how big a difference is it that there's going to be a Democratic U.S. senator?
I definitely expected it to be that tight pretty much the whole way through. I think most folks did, like you said, you know, we saw a few outlier polls that had, you know, somewhat up, you know, 4, 5, 7, but most of them showed it pretty neck and neck. In terms of what kind of a difference it will make to have a Democrat representing Arizona in the U.S. Senate, I mean, in terms of the makeup of the Senate, it really doesn't make much difference. The Republicans maintained their majority nationwide. I mean, for Arizona Democrats, you know, here in the state, this is a huge moment, though. I mean, this is the first time since 1988 Arizona has sent a Democrat to the Senate. Back then, it was a, you know, 2-term incumbent who'd been there for a long time, so just, you know, last re-election there. This is the first time a Democrat has won or taken a seat from the Republicans in the state since the mid-70s.
So I also wonder, and I have to ask the sort of political speculative question here. There's lots of chatter, lots of talk that the governor may appoint Martha McSally to this seat now that she has lost this race. What do you make of that?
Well, whoever the governor appoints, I mean, presuming John Kyle steps down soon, which he's signaled right. that is likely to happen, I think Republicans would like to see Governor Ducey pick someone who can run for that seat and win, you know, not a placeholder. 2020 is looking to be another very difficult year for the Republican Party, you know, probably in Arizona and nationwide. So they want someone who's going to be able to hold on to that seat. And Martha McSally looks like, I mean, she very well may be the strongest candidate they could put forward. They're As we saw from the last time when Senator Kyle got picked, there aren't really a lot of obvious front runners, which would seem strange in a state where Republicans have been dominant for so long, but there really aren't. And McSally, though she did lose, she, you know, is a very strong candidate, strong fundraiser, great resume. All that is still out there, and I'm not sure if there's another Republican Governor Ducey could appoint who would fare better in 2020.
Let's look at Secretary of State a little bit. Steve Gaynor was someone that there's been a little bit written about him recently, but a lot of people didn't know who he was. Michelle Reagan had been considered to be pretty incompetent, and Gaynor really crushed her in the primary. Now it looks like Katie Hobbs, she has the lead, and based on how momentum has been going, what difference does it make considering we always have to bring this up? There have been so many changes in Arizona. How many times has the Secretary of State moved up to governor? You've got the Republican governor won handily, may have other aspirations. And if we have a Democratic Secretary of State, what do you make of that?
Well, obviously, if Governor Ducey decides he wants another job sometime in the next 4 years, presuming Katie Hobbs holds on to this you know, fairly narrow lead, and like you said, the momentum is definitely in her favor, you know, presuming that, you know, that might that could potentially change Governor Ducey's plans. I mean, do you want to leave the state and leave you know, the governor's office in the hands of the opposition party? I mean, it's happened before. Obviously, Janet Napolitano did this in 2009. A lot of Democrats haven't actually really forgiven her for that. You know, Governor Ducey could probably leave and you know, confident in the knowledge that the Republicans are still kind of in the driver's seat in the state generally, and so they would definitely have a better chance of retaking that office from a Democrat than the Democrats had in retaking it from Jan Brewer. But that you know, if he's looking to move on, and I've seen no indication so far that he is, that definitely could give him a pause.
I wonder also about that race. Like, do you think that voters realize that is the number two job in the state? Like, Secretary of State, you think you either don't know what that position does, or you think of elections. Do you think that people understand the importance of this race?
It's hard to say. If they don't, it's not for lack of examples. As yeah. You guys mentioned, four of the last nine secretaries of state have ascended to the governor's office. Since 1974, every governor who has entered office through election has left early, and if Governor Ducey does not leave early, he will be the first person since Jack Williams in the late 60s and early 70s to break that trend. So if people don't know that, then certainly it's not for lack of historical examples, but people may not realize that. People may just view it as you know, the chief elections officer in the state, which is still a fairly important position.
Jeremy, let's look at big picture absurdity. Last week, you were at a press conference and asking some pointed questions of, in this case, the Republican Party with the state party chair. Lawsuits were filed related to Adrian Fontes. Did he try to fix the election? This doesn't seem like a real good look overall. I mean, does this just add to the absurdity? And do you expect these lawsuits to go anywhere?
The lawsuit you're referring to is over now, and this is kind of related but separate to these very baseless election fraud claims we've been hearing both locally and from Republicans nationally. There's not a shred of evidence to back this up. What this lawsuit was about was over early ballots that are dropped off on election day. Now, if you send in, you or I send in our early ballot, I guess they're before election day, they look at the signature on the envelope to make sure it matches the voter records. If it doesn't, they're going to call or email or text or something to say, make sure we're the ones who actually signed that. Traditionally, if you drop off your ballot on election night, they don't have time to check those signatures. So if they think it doesn't match, they're just going to, throw it away. And we've seen that happen in like some close races a couple of years ago in the 5th Congressional District primary. But what Adrian Fontes decided to do, and what Pima County and I think Coconino as well have been doing for a long time anyway, is they decided they're going to start checking those. Now, Jonathan Lyons, the chairman of the Arizona Republican Party, about a little over a week ago, sent a letter to county recorders threatening to sue them if they engage in this practice. He claimed it violated state law. A few days later, he filed a suit and said, didn't necessarily say he was trying to overturn that practice, just said, some counties do this, some counties don't. We want it to be a uniform practice across the board. By the end of it, they're saying, oh, well, we just want to make sure all these rural, I think they might have seen the writing on the wall and said, well, we just want to make sure these other counties, more Republican counties, get these ballots counted too, and presented it as a big win that they've been fighting for all along for these counties, which they certainly had not, and claiming that the Democrats have been trying to block that practice in rural counties, which they had not.
Well, just very briefly, is this one of those things that's just going to be forgotten? Martha McSally did, a very fine congratulations to Kyrsten Sinema last night. So is Jonathan Lyons no longer channeling Donald Trump, and now we're just Sinema won fair and square?
In that race, yes, she did. Now, of course, there's other races still out there. And plus, there's 2 years from now when Adrian Fontes, as you mentioned, a Democratic recorder in a predominantly Republican county, will be up for re-election. I mean, the Republicans are certainly targeting him. They're calling some of his other practices from the election into question. They've got a records request for communications between the recorder's office and Sinema and the Democrats and George Soros and Tom Steyer, of all people. They threw them in there as well. So I wouldn't expect the Republicans to let up on Fontes anytime soon, given that he'll be up for re-election in 2020.
Great. Jeremy Duda of the Arizona Mirror. Thanks for coming in, Jeremy.
Thanks a lot.